And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
Tuesday night, once again, it's 7 p.m. on the Left Coast, which, of course, means it's time for me, time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd like to do so, like I remind you every single week, interact with comments and questions on Twitter. I try to keep an eye on it over there. Go ahead and follow me at Tammy J. And before I introduce my most excellent guest, I want to take a moment and send my heartfelt prayers and condolences to the Bush family after the passing of Barbara Bush this afternoon. She was an absolute hero of mine and will be missed. Now, my guest tonight is Phil Kirpin. He's no stranger to all my listeners. Fantastic guest. Phil Kirpin is president of American Commitment, a nationally syndicated columnist, chairman of the Internet Freedom Coalition, and author of Democracy Denied. He also worked as an analyst and researcher for the Free Enterprise Fund, the Club for Growth, and the Cato Institute. Phil Kirpin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tammy. Great to be with you.
You know, you're always up to something, and it's usually some policy that's not really on my radar yet. So I always learn a lot every week when I have you on here. And I have heard back from dozens of friends that listen. They love having you on because they really get up to speed on some topics that aren't front and center in mainstream media, which is fantastic. And tonight is no different. We're going to talk about your article at AmericanCommitment.org. It's titled, FDA Tobacco Policy Faces Key Test. You begin the article, Phil Kirpin. Shortly after Scott Gottlieb took over as the Commissioner of Food and Drugs, he announced a paradigmatic shift in the agency's approach to regulating tobacco products centered on harm reduction. The idea that smokers who can't quit outright can get nicotine from products other than cigarettes and dramatically improve their health outcomes as a result. The first test of the extent to which things have really changed at the FDA comes with the application of a product called IQOS from Philip Morris, an electronic device that heats tobacco enough to release the nicotine but without combustion and all the health harms associated with the products of combustion. An aside here, since I was totally ignorant of all this, I've heard of the vaping and all that kind of stuff. I've seen that. But IQOS, it stands for I Quit Ordinary Smoking. And this is something I hadn't heard of, Phil Kirpin.
Well, it's very popular around the world, but it is not authorized for sale in the United States. And so there's really no reason you would have heard of it. But there are millions of pages of science behind this product. And I think a couple of billion dollars in research and development as well. And the interesting thing about this is, you know, when the FDA got the authority to regulate tobacco, which is a recent thing, it was 2009 when Congress passed that law, they put this provision in there called modified risk tobacco products. And the idea was Congress basically told the FDA, look, we're creating this pathway for you to approve tobacco products that are less harmful than cigarettes. Now, no tobacco product is going to be good for you. If you're not currently addicted, do not start using any tobacco product, okay?
Right.
Get that out of the way. But if you're already addicted, it's really beneficial to get off of cigarettes and onto something else if you can't quit completely. And so the idea was Congress was basically saying, look, we're going to create this pathway for you to approve modified risk tobacco products, review the science. If in fact it's less harmful than cigarettes, then approve the product and let the company that's selling it make health claims about it. This is not as harmful for you as smoking cigarettes and what have you. That was 2009. It's 2018. The FDA has approved a grand total of zero modified risk tobacco products. They refused to approve any of them. And under Obama, that was really sort of consistent with their philosophy, which was, you know, we don't care that the law says we're supposed to approve these modified risk tobacco products because, you know, Bloomberg and the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids and all these other liberal groups said anything that involves tobacco is evil and needs to be stomped out and banned. And so we're not going to approve any of these products, even though in practice, that means the people who might have used them stick with cigarettes and get the worst possible health outcomes. And so they had sort of a nonsensical policy under Obama. As you just read there from that article, Scott Gottlieb, Trump's FDA commissioner, comes in and he announced last year, we're going to completely reverse that policy. We're now going to approve reduced harm products. We still want as many people to quit as possible, but for people who can't quit, we want them to have as many good options as they can to find something that works for them other than continuing to smoke cigarettes. So that was the big announcement, but, you know, it's a year later, and they're still at zero. They still have not approved any modified risk tobacco products. And the first one, the one that's furthest along in the process, is this Philip Morris heat not burn product, IQOS, which is a pretty interesting product because it's designed to sort of feel and look and taste like a cigarette, but it never burns. And so it doesn't have the hundreds of hazardous chemicals that you inhale from the combustion process. But it also appeals, you know, only to people who can't switch off cigarettes because the feel and the taste and sort of the tactile experience is part of their habit. And so it sort of directly, I think, is an option for the kind of people who have not been able to switch to, you know, vaporizers or other kind of stuff because part of what they're addicted to is the taste and the feel and so forth. And so I think it's a really interesting product from that standpoint. And if Commissioner Gottlieb is serious at all about the big shift in policy he announced last year, he ought to approve it. Now, that said, all those same Obama people are still there at the agency, and he's going to have to overrule his own bureaucrats in order to make good on his announced change in policy. Because, you know, they had an advisory committee meeting on this, I don't know, about 2 months ago now, and, you know, they were extremely hostile to this product. I mean, one of the guys on the advisory committee, I'm not kidding, Tammy, one of the guys on the advisory committee started haranguing this Philip Morris scientist for, you know, why didn't you test this on pregnant women and children? We need to have data on how this affects pregnant women and children. And it's just like, you know, can you imagine what would have happened if they had tested a tobacco yes. product on pregnant women and children? I mean, it's like, that's like the most insane. I mean, you can't attack them for not doing it. Like, it's like, you know, when you do that, you're basically saying, no matter what you do, I'm going to attack you. Because, and there's just, so that's, that mentality is still there at the agency. And that's why I think it's so interesting to kind of watch, you know, if Commissioner Gottlieb's going to sort of overrule the bureaucrats there and follow through on, you know, the announced change in policy by approving this product.
Yeah, and it's pretty interesting. I'm sure you know people, as do I. I have known people that have smoked their whole lives. And from what I've heard from doctors, from the people that have smoked, etc., it is tougher to stop smoking than it is to get off some narcotics. So this is a tough deal. It's extremely harmful. And I read this and I thought, well, you would think people would be saying this is a win because we can get people that are really, really harming themselves, and we can give them an option that will help them. And it could be a step towards being entirely nicotine-free. But a little bit on this, Scott Gottlieb, he was sworn in as 23rd Commissioner of the FDA on March 11, 2017. He's a physician, medical policy expert, public health advocate. He was previously a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, great organization, and a clinical assistant prof at the New York University School of Medicine in Manhattan. He completed his residency at Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York, and he's a graduate of the School of Medicine there, and of Wesleyan University in Connecticut, where he studied economics. So I think, wow, that's fantastic. He's well qualified for the position in medicine, but he also has the economic background, which is really terrific. So in your article, Dr. Gottlieb made a fairly assertive statement that you quote, and he said, "The overwhelming amount of death and disease attributable to tobacco is caused by addiction to cigarettes." Gottlieb correctly observed in a landmark speech last year, unless we change course, 5.6 million young people alive today will die prematurely later in life from tobacco use. Envisioning a world where cigarettes would no longer create or sustain addiction, and where adults who still need or want nicotine could get it from alternative and less harmful sources, needs to be the cornerstone of our efforts. So it sounds like he was all on board, but we're a year later and we're not too much farther down the road.
Right. The announced policy was exactly right. But we're still stuck on zero modified risk tobacco products approved. And so, the real test is whether they're going to actually approve a product. And, obviously he's getting some very mixed advice from his advisory committee, but an advisory committee is just that. It's advisory. He's got to make the decision. And so this is one that I've been watching, because I think it's going to be indicative of, whether, sort of the Trump political appointee at the top of an agency is willing to follow through on what he knows is right, or sort of buckles under to the permanent bureaucracy.
Wow. Wow. We'll be back with my guest, Phil Kirpin, to talk more about his article at AmericanCommitment.org titled FDA Tobacco Policy Faces Key Test. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Companies. Very proud of that. They are a true custom firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. You can find them online, robarguns.com. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I mentioned last week, which is we're coming up on Thursday, which is April 19. That is Patriots Day, also called Shot Heard Round the World Day. And Robar, along with a number of agencies, a number of ranges, et cetera, around the nation, are all going to be involved in a tremendous event, Shot Heard Round the World Day. You can find out more about the event. I wrote an article about it for Robar. It's up there if you go to robarguns.com. And if you've heard about the battles of Concord and Lexington, about the British and King George, who was taxing the colonists, then trying to disarm them, take away not only their armaments, but also their ball and powder. So you need to go read the article. You need to get on the internet and see if there's a range near you that's going to commemorate Patriots Day, celebrate it with Robar, with a bang. And if you need Robar to check out your firearm to give it new life, contact them at robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute, and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
This is Tammy Jackson, back with my guest, Phil Kirpin. If you're just joining the show, Phil Kirpin is president of American Commitment. He's a nationally syndicated columnist, chairman of Internet Freedom Coalition, author of Democracy Denied. And we've been talking about his excellent article at AmericanCommitment.org titled FDA Tobacco Policy Faces Key Test. We're talking about this new policy. We're talking about Dr. Gottlieb, who is the head of the FDA now under Trump, and the fact that, as you mentioned, Phil, most of the people at the agency are holdovers that have been there for a while, and a lot of them probably put there by the Obama people, etc. And we're talking about a new product, and it's IQOS. You call it IQOS?
I think that's how you say it. I could be wrong.
Just checking. Well, I could absolutely be wrong myself. But at Philip Morris' site, they talk about it. And this is a product by Philip Morris, which I think from the economic side of things, this is pretty terrific because they could be transitioning away from all their profit being from cigarettes to something like IQOS, and not a bad idea. They write at their site, while the idea of heating tobacco has been around for more than two decades, it's only now that we've managed to find a way to heat tobacco that results in a product that is satisfying to adult smokers. IQOS heats the tobacco just enough to release a flavorful nicotine-containing vapor, but without burning the tobacco. And here's the point. This is pretty interesting, by the way. The tobacco in cigarette burns at temperatures in excess of 600 degrees Celsius, generating smoke that contains harmful chemicals. But IQOS heats tobacco to much lower temperatures, maybe 350 degrees Celsius, without combustion, fire, ash, or smoke. So the lower temperature heating releases the true taste of heated tobacco. Because the tobacco is heated, not burned, the levels of harmful chemicals are significantly reduced compared to cigarette smoke. So, Phil, I guess this is vaping for the next generation.
Yeah, you know, the difference here between this and, you know, your normal e-cig, the vapor products that are out there, is that it feels and tastes like a cigarette. I mean, the filter on it looks like a cigarette filter. You're putting the same thing in your mouth, basically, like a little rolled stick of tobacco. It looks like a cigarette, but what you're actually breathing in is more like a vapor, because there's no burning, there's no smoke, there's no combustion, and so it kind of is a way to get sort of the nicotine in a vaporized form, but with the feeling of a cigarette in your hand and the taste of a tobacco product. And, you know, for that reason, if it is approved, it'll probably be very popular with precisely the kind of people who haven't been able to switch to vapor products, because part of the habit for them is the feeling of a cigarette, the taste of a cigarette, and so forth. And, you know, this product, which is available almost everywhere in the world except the United States, is, you know, I heard it's so popular now in Asia that Vegas casinos are illegally importing it so they can have it available for their big Asian players when they come in. Because they demand it, because it's sort of what they use now. A lot of the people who switch from cigarettes to this are not going to go without it when they're in the U.S. So it's very popular around the world. And I think it's really important to have as many choices as we can for people. Yeah, some people might want to keep smoking cigarettes. I don't think it's a great choice from a health standpoint, but in a free society, they could do that.
Right.
Some people, the vapor products have been great for them. You know, some people who maybe the vapor products didn't quite work for them, this would. And so right. I think it's really important that we approve all kinds of different things so people can figure out what works for them and try to use whatever works for them that ideally has, you know, reduced health harms also.
Yeah, to give them the opportunity to better their own health. You write in the article, so a product like IQOS that heats tobacco to release nicotine without combustion would be a slam dunk for FDA approval, especially because IQOS is attractive primarily to smokers who want to quit but are challenged by the taste, tactile difference between cigarettes and vapor products. Committee member Michael Weitzman was the most bizarrely hostile, and you mentioned this last segment, at one point criticizing Philip Morris for not exposing pregnant women to the product for testing purposes. Phil Kirpin, to me, it is unfathomable that Weitzman would criticize Philip Morris for not exposing pregnant women and children under the age of 18. What kind of demented person would demand such testing?
Well, I mean, the kind of person who's going to attack a tobacco company no matter what, basically. Yeah. And mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think, you know, look, if you're going to criticize not testing on pregnant women, you're going to criticize anything, basically, is the reason I thought that was worth pointing out. And, you know, it's just indicative that you've still got some people there at the FDA who are just anything a tobacco company wants to do, they're against it, period, end of story, even if it would actually benefit public health. And, you know, that, I think, is just indicative of what Commissioner Gottlieb is up against. If he's really going to follow through on this big policy change he announced last year, he's going to have to overrule a lot of his own agency because they still have that same old mindset that he said he was going to change.
Well, one thing that's interesting as we're talking about this, it kind of brings to light my own governmental agency ignorance in a way, because I'm always assuming that when somebody's appointed to an agency, they probably want to bring in their own people. I know that some places, like at the Capitol, in the White House, et cetera, you have people that are kind of lifers that are there through different administrations. But I guess I assume that with a lot of these agencies, that people would head up the agency and then get their own people in there, especially if the holdovers were from a Democratic presidency. But obviously not the case.
No, a lot of the personnel changes happen very, very slowly, or even not at all. And you know, outside of the very top leadership of these agencies and the handful of people there, you know, the rest of the people are unionized federal civil service, and they stay there forever. And then they retire with you know, nice pensions and so forth. And you know, these advisory committees are a little bit different. They have you know, I don't know how many years the term is. They do eventually rotate off, but it's kind of slow because they have sort of staggered terms and that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, these federal agencies are massive bureaucracies, and the number of political appointees and sort of the people directly hired by the political appointees is very, very small. It's a tiny fraction. That's why it's so difficult to kind of wrangle control over, you know, one of these, you know, Washington bureaucracies. Even when you have an administration that wants to reverse course, you're sort of, you know, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to steer an aircraft carrier, basically. You got these gigantic bureaucratic organizations, and you can make a big announcement that you're changing direction, but it can take a long time to turn that thing around.
Yeah, we're talking the Titanic. This is what happens when government just grows beyond what it should be and what it was meant to be by the Constitution. That's for sure. Phil Kirpin, what should we be looking for next? Is there anything else on the horizon that you know on this that we should be paying attention to?
Well, they're doing a few other things on tobacco policy that are kind of interesting, but they're all sort of longer term. They're taking public comment on reducing the level of nicotine in cigarettes to try to prevent people from getting addicted in the first place. I'm sort of unconvinced about that aspect of what Commissioner Gottlieb's trying to do, because I worry that people are just going to smoke more cigarettes to try to get the same amount of nicotine and get more exposure to harmful chemicals. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch. But I really think this IQOS approval question is really it's going to be the first thing we see to tell us whether they actually have changed direction on this stuff.
Yeah, see if they've got some teeth now. Well, as usual, Phil Kirpin, you just have a wealth of knowledge, and My fantastic listeners appreciate you. I appreciate you. This is something that I was really uninformed about before. So thanks for all the work you do, Phil, and for taking the time to be on late in your day.
My pleasure, Tammy. And we've got a bunch of other issues we're working on right now. If people want to look on AmericanCommitment.org, you'll see not just more info on this, but we're also working on some stuff related to NAFTA, some stuff related to Obamacare, all kinds of other very interesting things happening where we might actually have some positive opportunities here in Washington. So take a look on AmericanCommitment.org.
You bet. I've got it all linked on the show page. I want people to go there. And this means as things are breaking in the future, I can have you back for more good shows.
Absolutely. Just let me know.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break. I'm talking about the jihad being waged on conservative media, and I'm doing it solo. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Camera Security Now. Camera Security Now sells and installs surveillance and access control systems for businesses nationwide. Their turnkey surveillance and access control systems provide an excellent management control tool going far beyond the obvious safety and security benefits. For example, a site-wide surveillance system is the most cost-effective way to provide instant access to all the visual information that's critical to your business. Camera Security Now can handle your largest surveillance projects while still providing easy-to-reach personal service. With upfront pricing on itemized quotes, remote access to your surveillance system with no monthly fees, and same-day virtual site visits, you can rest assured your security needs are in capable hands. For more information, visit CameraSecurityNow.com. Or call 800-440-1662. CameraSecurityNow.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Not a soul up ahead and nothing behind. There's a desert in my blood and a storm in your eyes. Am I the king of nothing at all? And you're the queen of nothing at all. Will I remember the fight and I forget the pain? I got my hand in your pocket and my key in your chain. Am I the king of nothing at all? And you're the queen of nothing at all.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show. For the next 24 or so minutes, I want to bring y'all up to speed on two current hot button topics. At least I get a little fired up when I talk about them. Okay, the first thing is media bias. You hear about this, everybody hears fake news and all this kind of stuff, but there is a whole lot of media bias. You all know that I work in the digital world. So if anybody's new, I'm the executive editor at barbedwire.com. I'm social media marketing and content at robarguns.com. I am also social media and content at AF Branco, the cartoonist, his website, comicallyincorrect.com. Now, all of my editor friends, all of us writing and editing at conservative sites, large and small. And so I have friends at a lot of these different sites, whether it's townhall.com, Breitbart, or elsewhere. But we have all noticed the decline in both revenue and readership. And a lot of it is thanks to the silent censorship of the big social media platforms. It's not just CNN and MSNBC and all the horrid late night comics and conservative haters. It's Facebook and Twitter and Google and YouTube and Wikipedia. So to give you a for example, my income, which I can bring up because it is directly related to the website traffic, and it's comparable to every other editor and website owner I know. It has decreased by at least 85%, probably a little closer to 90% since 2015. 90% decrease in income because of primarily the social media platforms. Now, last night, I heard the Media Research Center founder and president, Brent Bozell, on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox News Channel. And you have to hear this. They were talking about the MRC's new report. It's titled Censored: How Online Media Companies Are Suppressing Conservative Speech. By the way, I have the link on the show page to request the free report. You definitely want to request it. You want to read it. It's free. It's worth reading to know what's going on, to see if there's any way you can help conservative sites. It doesn't have to be the sites where I'm at, but whatever your favorite conservative site is, there may be a way to help them. But here's some of the key findings from this big report from MRC. Twitter leads in censorship. Facebook's trending feed has been hiding conservative topics. Google's search is aiding Democrats. Well, that's a no-brainer there. YouTube is shutting down conservative videos. Tech firms are relying on groups that hate conservatives. Liberal Twitter advisors outnumber conservatives 12 to 1, and tech companies rely on anti-conservative fact checkers. I know that. Now, this audio, it's a little bit longer than the normal thing I usually play. It's 4 minutes, 45 seconds, but it's worth hearing. If you've already heard it once, it's worth hearing again. Let's listen to what MRC's Brent Bozell has to say to Laura Ingraham.
Time now for our Defending the First series, where we expose the enemies of the First Amendment, free expression, and free thought. The Media Research Center released a devastating report today documenting the censorship of conservative speech by Silicon Valley's tolerant tech giants. Among the findings, claims from former employees that Facebook hides conservative content from the trending section were backed up by a detailed study. Google, YouTube, and Twitter partner with leftist groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center that hate conservatives. And check this out. Of the 25 members on the panel that guides Twitter's policies, 12 are liberals, and there's only one conservative. I can't believe there's one. Shocking, well, but not surprising, is it? For more details, we're joined by Brent Bozell, founder of the very important, indispensable Media Research Center. Brent, first of all, it's great to have you. First appearance on the show, man.
How are you?
Where have you been? Tell us what you found.
Well, it's a massive study done by my colleagues Dan Gaynor and Ashley Goldenberg. It's 50 pages documenting what conservatives have been suggesting has been happening. It sounds hyperbolic, but Laura, this is true. This is the emerging, the greatest censorship of free speech worldwide in the history of man. And let me explain this. The left is on a jihad against conservative thought. It's happening in academia, in entertainment, in business, religion, everywhere. Everywhere where they're attacking, they're suppressing conservative thought. Now they're going to the social media giants. These social media giants have audiences in the billions. And what we've shown in this massive report is whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Google or YouTube, they're all employing different tactics to go against conservatives.
Let's go through some of them. We have a full screen on this. Censorship of conservative speech. Here's some examples. Google search aids Democrats and study found that 2016 campaign searches were biased in favor of Hillary Clinton. YouTube shutting down conservative channels by mistake by removing videos that promote right-wing political views. And tech companies Facebook and Google are relying on anti-conservative fact-checkers like Snopes and Wikipedia. Now, why is Wikipedia, for our viewers out there, why is that a left-wing?
Well, if you look at so many things Wikipedia does, it puts a liberal spin against conservatives on a regular basis.
We always have to edit my page.
Well,
I know that.
Well, I've had to do it. I've had to
right?
do it.
I've stopped looking. It's easier that way.
They just insert right. nasty stuff about you. No, they've been partnering. YouTube has been partnering with them to unmask conservatives and to go against conservative content and to uncover these awful conservatives and what they're doing.
You say that war is being declared on the conservative movement and conservatives are losing badly. If the right is silenced, billions of people will be cut off from conservative ideals. It goes on, but we'll just stop it there. That's really true, isn't it? Because even though the Soviets suppress speech, China suppresses speech, we're talking about, in effect, a global effort to suppress or silence conservatives. I mean, you've seen, you know, the nonsense that's happened to shows like mine. They try to do it with Rush and others. This is what they do. They don't want to debate because they're losing on the substance, are they not? They want to silence. But with the power of high tech, Brent, what can we, the consumers of information and others watching, what can they do?
Well, the first thing you have to do is recognize what is going on right now. You know, Jack Dorsey is the CEO of Twitter. He put these things in his right perspective. Just recently, he promoted an article that called for the destruction of the conservative movement. Promoted it.
Yeah, he retweeted it.
So it's not just happening in the United States. It's all over the world that the left is militant. Conservatives have to recognize this, and conservatives have to start looking for new homes.
Our own platforms?
I think we're going
or
to
groups
do that.
That hold them accountable.
But Mark Zuckerberg beyond yours. Knows if conservative leads, if they leave, the business model for these social media giants collapses.
Use your power with businesses, high tech, everybody.
Congratulations that
speech.
Your audience is up 20% ever since they went after you.
Well, you know, there's always a glass half full here on the Ingram angle. Brent, thank you. We're gonna link this up on my Facebook page. Everybody needs to read it and support the efforts that you're doing. I don't know what we'd do without Media Research Center, frankly. Thank you so much. You
Well, everybody, that was MRC's Brent Bozell talking to Laura Ingraham about the MRC Big Media Report. It's titled Censored, How Online Media Companies Are Suppressing Conservative Speech, and it's happening. It's happening around the world, and those of us that use social media platforms as a marketing tool for our content understand exactly what's going on. I tell you, I get emails from media owners and editors daily asking, what can we do? What can we do about this? This is the latest thing that Facebook's doing. When you consider that, for instance, one of the pages that I manage on Facebook used to have an average of 80,000 interactions per day at any given time. Now, we're lucky if there's 10 to 15,000 interactions with that page. Every other page that I talk to is having the same thing happen. And these are websites, a lot of them, that had maybe a million and a half reads per month. So we're talking pretty decent income, and it's been slashed, and a lot of it has to do with these social media platforms. I hope you're aware of this. I hope that you're supporting the conservative sites as much as you can. There's things you can do. You can go onto your Facebook account. You can go to the page that you love, and at the top, you can click there's a thing there that you can click on that says, I want to see this first. Otherwise, you can like pages, and Facebook will not have their posts in your home stream. So you will go to your home stream sometime during the day, and you'll say, well, I wonder what my favorite sites are up to. They will not be there. Facebook is now making the determination of what they think people should be seeing, what people want to see. It's not based on the sites that you've selected that you want to see. It's based on what Facebook thinks you ought to be seeing. So we've got to take control. A lot of us are hoping that somebody like the Koch brothers will dole out the money so that we can start getting our own social media platforms and do an end run around all these people. But until then, it's the fight that we're fighting. Unfortunately, a lot of sites are closing because everybody cannot afford to do this for free, no matter how passionate we are about being culture warriors. I'll be back after the break to wrap up the hour with one more hot topic. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Dispatches, the website. They're found at johnbiver.com. Dispatches is an absolute treasure trove of resources to inform and equip conservatives to fight and win the information war. Boy, do we need that now. That's Dispatches at johnbiver.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000 or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
You're on the 405.
Tammy Jackson going solo, having a little bit of fun, talking about some not so fun topics, some really hot topics. I was asked to write an investigative article a couple weeks ago. The topic, the new comprehensive sex education program being forced on public schools nationwide. Okay, so if there are any young ones listening, I doubt it, but if there are, you may want to ask them to leave the room because this is hot in a number of ways. The result of my research, besides feeling thoroughly ill and disgusted, was this article, and I've got it linked on the show page. It's titled, Planned Parenthood, Killing the Preborn and Perverting the Already Born. So it's linked on the show page. You can find it at barbedwire.com. I write near the beginning of the article. Good people in America have been living good and godly lives, raising their children, paying their taxes, going to church, contributing to their towns and communities. Too many Americans, blissfully ignorant of the radical, evil changes taking place, now face unfathomable perversity where they live. It's past time to wake up and do something. Now, as I get into this, be forewarned, this is not for the faint of heart. A little further down, I get to the crux of the matter. And a huge, publicly funded purveyor of every kind of wickedness, Planned Parenthood is not content to murder over 300,000 preborn babies each and every year. The evil organization has now partnered with another radical group, the Human Rights Campaign. It's also called HRC. It is a virulently pro-homosexual organization, and they partnered with them to force comprehensive sex education on every public school in every state. Now, you're wondering about this. A lot of you have heard about this, and you've heard snippets here and there. Well, Planned Parenthood is bringing sex ed. You don't want that. What's going on with this? This plan originated decades ago. Absolutely. It was a plan to propagandize your kids, starting in, well, one of the first starts of it was in 1964. The medical director at the time for Planned Parenthood Federation of America was Dr. Mary Calderon, and she founded the Sexuality Information and Education Council of the United States. It's called SIECUS. If you ever hear SIECUS, S-I-E-C-U-S, beware. That is a horrible, horrible organization. What did she want? She wanted this Ms. Calderon, the doctor so-called, wanted sex ed that included, and I quote, accurate information about human sexuality, including growth and development, anatomy, physiology, human reproduction, pregnancy, childbirth, parenthood, family life, sexual orientation, gender identity, sexual response, masturbation, contraception, abortion, sexual abuse, HIV/AIDS, and other sexually transmitted infections, end quote. Now, that's just a light overview of what she wanted. Ms. Calderon not only wanted big-time sex ed, comprehensive sex ed, that included explicit information about any kind of sex permutation, which is a kind way of saying perversion. But she wanted that indoctrination to start by kindergarten. Do you understand? That means she wanted five-year-olds to be indoctrinated with this. She wanted that because Ms. Calderon and Planned Parenthood and the other organizations partnering with Planned Parenthood want to change our culture. They want what Obama promised, a fundamental transformation of the United States of America. They wanted to get rid of the traditional family. They want to get rid of traditional marriage of one man and one woman. And along with traditional marriage, of course, they would get rid of traditional human sexuality, that is one man and one woman. And they want to usher in same-sex sex and marriage. They want to enter in multiple partner sex and marriage. The new thing on the horizon is bestiality. And they're saying that there are no prohibitions as far as that's concerned. These people want to inform your kids. There is a video that I've got in my article that I've got linked on the show page that is an undercover video of a 15-year-old girl at Planned Parenthood asking the health worker there, who was a nursing assistant, about how can she get information on sex and how to have sex, how to have oral sex, anal sex, what about masochism and other types of sex, bondage, etc. It goes on and on. And this nursing assistant at Planned Parenthood in this undercover video is giving her websites where she can go, telling her how she can do it without her parents knowing in case she ends up with a partner. And this is a 15-year-old girl, people. In case she ends up with a partner that is into sex with whips and chains and bondage and anal sex and everything else. How some people can be into that and that's cool. This is the kind of organization that is bringing sex education to the public schools in America. It's absolutely reprehensible. Now, I don't have much time left, but to give you an unsavory taste of what is in this vile, quote, comprehensive sex education, end quote. Megan Fox wrote an article at PJ Media, and she writes, "Sex education in public schools has gone off the deep end. Gone are the days of handing out birth control and practicing putting condoms on bananas. These days, your kid is more likely to come away from school with more sexually deviant knowledge than single gay dudes in New York City, thanks to Planned Parenthood's comprehensive sex ed program that has somehow made it into public school curriculums. These programs teach dangerous and violent practices like BDSM, asphyxiation, gender bending, anal sex, and let's not forget rimming, which can saddle your kid with nasty parasitic infections. I know a lot of you, like me, are probably thinking, what is this? Is some of it I've heard of? It's not something I would ever seek out. Asphyxiation is dangerous, can result in death. Gender bending, really crazy. Anal sex, well, you know, there's, gosh. And rimming, if you dare to Google on that, you'll be returned with some sites that pretty much will shock the holy heck out of you. I'm telling you, this is horrible, reprehensible stuff. And this kind of stuff is included in the comprehensive sex education that Planned Parenthood and HRC are providing. Now, in my article, I have some information. My article, once again, is titled Planned Parenthood, Killing the Preborn, Perverting the Already Born. I have information about the hashtag sex ed sit out. Kids are being pulled out of public school on Monday, April 23rd for this event. I think this is fantastic. The public school teachers wanted to take kids out of the school so that they could go and have a sit out or a walk out or walk in or something to do away with our Second Amendment rights, to ban guns, etc. The kids were up for it mainly because they got out of school. Well, this is something I could really put my excitement behind, the sex ed sit out. I end the article that I wrote, Planned Parenthood Killing the Preborn, Perverting the Already Born, with this. Each family must decide to take a stand to protect their children, even if that means ultimately removing students from public schools permanently. As for Planned Parenthood, HRC, and CECAS, in the Gospel of Luke, it warns, quote, "It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." 3 1,600-pound millstones coming up. Yep, this is what's going on. We've got Planned Parenthood. We have the Human Rights Campaign, and they're joined by other people as well. The Southern Poverty Law Center is on board and adding some assistance to this. So all of these leftist organizations that support deviant lifestyles and support the killing of babies, by the way, they're not satisfied with killing over 300,000 babies every year. Now they want to get to the already born kids and propagandize them with this garbage. I hope parents are listening. I hope grandparents are listening. I hope everybody listening sends my article and the information out to any parents or grandparents they know to beware. These are our children. We need to safeguard them. God help us. This nation needs prayers and no one more in this nation than the children. I hope you're all awake. I hope you're doing what you can to be salt and light in your part of the country. Thanks so much for listening. I will be back next week on the 405 with more great guests. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson thanking you for listening, reminding you to wake up, to not be silent, to let your voice be heard, because you and I, we have a country to save.
cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. Boy, no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now.
Can't hold hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will break the noise. Try to beat me down. Tell me to shut my mouth. But there's a time to speak, and the time is now. On the side.